and that's why I included him in this book.
We're speaking with Senator Mike Lee. He is the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. One final question, sir, and I've been trying to do some research on this, and I know a number of Americans have. Do you have any idea what covfefe is?
I think it's a beverage, something people drink in the morning, sometimes with cream, sometimes with sugar. But whatever covfefe is, I'm sure it's good. It's probably something that I, as a Mormon, can't drink.
Well spoken, sir. We've been talking with Senator Mike Lee. He is the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. I really appreciate you spending the time today, sir.
Thank you.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The U.S. economy is beating estimates as 128,000 jobs were added in October. The unemployment rate ticked up to 3.6%. Experts had predicted around 100,000 new jobs. John Hilzenrath of the Wall Street Journal reacts to the latest job report.
Solid numbers, really solid numbers. We knew that the GM strike was going to hold them down. You know, this tells us that the expansion is still going. I mean, it's not going gangbusters, but it's going. And, you know, if you're President Trump, you have to be very happy about this going into an election year.
Hilzenrath was speaking there on Fox Business. Chicago public school students are back in class following the end of a teacher strike. Students missed 11 days of classes and will have to make up only 5 of them. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You have a job to fill. You post your opening to dozens of online job sites and receive 600 resumes, which you barely have time to eyeball and settle on someone good on paper. In real life, they aren't. You train, retrain, correct, redo, admit defeat, start all over again. Robert Half is the better way to find top talent quickly. Robert Half interviews and custom matches applicants to your exact requirements. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com.
MyPillow.com.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety. Because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
Actress Lori Loughlin is pleading not guilty to new charges being brought against her and her husband in the college admissions cheating scandal. Prosecutors added new charges of conspiracy to commit federal program bribery to all of the dozen parents who pled not guilty to the original charges. They've released some details on one of the nation's most famous parades. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
NBC presents Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade with your host.
Among those on the list of celebs who will be on floats in the 93rd annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade are actor Billy Porter, some acts you may remember from the past if you're old enough, the Black Eyed Peas, TLC, Chicago. Also, the casts of The Muppets and Sesame Street return for another year. The parade is, of course, set for Thanksgiving morning, which is November 28th. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Senator Elizabeth Warren pledged Friday not to raise middle-class taxes to fund her Medicare for All plan, responding to pressure she's facing as she's emerging as a front-runner in the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. Warren's campaign says her single-payer plan would cost just under $52 trillion over a decade, which includes $20.5 trillion in new federal spending. Democratic Senator from Delaware Chris Coons was asked if he could support a $52 trillion Medicare for All plan on Fox News.
When it comes to health care, on the extremes from repeal and don't replace with no clear plan and a $52 trillion Medicare for All deal that would make more than 100 million Americans leave their current private insurance and go on a government plan, I'm hoping we will see in the Democratic presidential primary debates Joe Biden's plan, which is build on and improve the things about the Affordable Care Act folks like and that work and address the things that need to be fixed.
As far as if he would support a $32 trillion health care plan, Coons says,
I will gauge which plan for health care I end up supporting by whether or not I think there's a path towards also paying for it.
President Trump will host the Washington Nationals at the White House to celebrate the team's World Series win. The Washington Post is reporting the team has accepted the invitation and will meet at the White House on Monday. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good afternoon, Hunterdon. It's Bill Wolfson and John Manfreda.
Good afternoon, everyone. Live from the studios of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and broadcast over the internet worldwide, it's The Sports Guy, starring Bill Wolfson and
his understudy,
John Manfreda, and Pat Smith is in absentia today. She has not made an appearance, but...
It's very interesting, John. Of the three of us, I have to say she's the least Jewish, being coming from the Midwest. She's the only one in Israel right now.
This is true.
But since we're the sports guys, we don't care. We can now get words in edgewise without her. Some people have referred to our show as old lawyers talking about sports and trying to drink coffee. I don't know if that's so, but, John, how about them Nationals? What do you think we learned from a Nationals' great World Series win? Nobody wins a game at home in that series.
First time in history in any sport, all seven games the road team will. And what was your second point, Bill?
Scherzer pitches the last game. He gets hit hard, but everything that he throws gets hit hard right at a Nationals glove. I saw one of the hardest, longest line drives I've ever seen hit back an outfielder to the wall. He just puts his glove up and catches the ball. What kind of luck is that?
Well, Bill, as you know, they say hit them where they ain't. And if you hit them where they are, such as it was, you wind up making a long, hard out.
You know, that long hard out is the interesting thing. But, you know, the season's finally over. The most home runs ever hit, the most strikeouts ever hit, the liveliness of the baseball, and then it becomes a somewhat deader ball during the playoffs. I think they changed the ball.
Bill, there's been vehement denials of that allegation. The claim is there's nothing changed with the baseball. And, you can make arguments both ways. We do know this is the year of the launch angle, where, with adjusting the swing up, batters have sacrificed batting average in an attempt to hit the ball out because it's a power game. And if you hit a couple of three-run homers in a game, but you only get six hits in the whole game, that's better than 15 singles generally. Not always, but generally that's the case. So at this point, that's the credible response, I guess, from Major League Baseball, that there's nothing changed with the ball.
You know, the Nationals survive a 19-31 start, five elimination games, and in the middle of those five do-or-die games, they were dominated by Greinke's precision for two-thirds of the game. Astros fans were counting out to a second title in 3 years. The Minute Maid Park was just hopping and rocking. And maybe, because Halloween was the next night, so it was Mischief Night, what happens is all of a sudden there's a come behind thrilling 6-2 win, and the Nationals end up out on top. I have to tell you, the Astros were probably the best club of the last 3 years. But, it's hard to win titles, and even harder when you have an opponent that goes through and wins five elimination games in a row.
Bill, I understand, and there's a plethora of those kinds of facts that are coming out. But sort of on the emotional level, and let's face it, I think we all agree baseball was perhaps the most emotional of the games. From the perspective of the Yankee fans, and there are a few of them around, would they not be happy with this result, even though they're technically American League-oriented, to see the Nationals snatch victory from the grasp of the hated Astros who buried the Yankees?
I don't think the Astros are as hated as much as the Red Sox.
No. I think we hold that title as most hated, as do you for us.
And, I always enjoy your attempts to stir up controversy and...
Me? Bill, perish the thought.
You're the straw that stirs the drink, John.
Bill, that's very well put, and I thank you.
Okay. The good thing about John is he's, like the Reggie bar. The only candy bar that whenever you unwrapped it, it told you how good it was.
Yeah, there you go.
He's pretty good. He's actually a smart guy. I'll tell you that right now. Why is he smart? Because he's been my friend for 25 years. To be my friend for 25 years, you've got to be smart.
Well, yeah, I got to be good, Bill, to do that, to maintain the friendship. And I'm honored every day.
There you are. Moving right along on this. this. What do you think the lesson is for the rest of us baseball lovers?
Well, I think the lesson is that perhaps more so than ever before, certainly more so since the 96 to 2001 era when a certain team went to five World Series in 6 years. We're not going to mention that team. But
the one in the Bronx?
Those guys, you know. Those guys. And we do have to give them a lot of credit for that. But, you know, what to me it stands for, Bill, is that it's very much a crapshoot. It's not the best team who wins. It's the team that gets hot. It's fortuity with a capital F. And obviously skill, good play. But as you know, luck is the residue of hard work. And there's no question but that the Nationals were a hardworking team to survive five elimination games and to win the last two in Houston on the road was nothing short of amazing. What do I attribute it to? A lot of hard work and perhaps a considerable amount of luck or a strong dose of luck.
What was interesting to me is that the Yankees went under, not because of their pitching, which I always said was suspect, but because they did not deliver hits with runners in scoring position.
Exactly. That was the biggest thing,
and
no question.
The Astros had the same problem, even though it went seven games.
Yes.
The Yankees only went six games against the Astros.
Yeah.
I have to give the Yankees credit between the injuries, the pitching problems, and the difficulties that you face in an increasingly competitive American League. The Yankees managed to be the next guy up all year. I am not a huge fan of Aaron Boone, but I give him credit for managing his pitching. The firing of Larry Rothschild mystifies me. I thought he was better. He deserved better. So I'm a little surprised about that. But, you know, the Yankees decided that they would go with pitching by committee because their starters weren't all that good. Domingo German got suspended. We had C.C. Sabathia, who was just too hurt and burned out to give us his swan song appearance in the World Series. Masahiro Tanaka, one of my favorite pitchers, got blown up a couple of times. And, you know,
Bill, I think some people might be heard to say that they choked.
I don't know that you'd say they choked or not, but when you don't hit with runners in scoring position, there's a lot to be questioned. I will tell you that I was not pleased with Gary Sanchez's performance.
Wait a minute. I give you the Yankees got further than most would with less. There's no question. Okay. But in terms of the Astros, I mean, how do you blow a 3-2 lead with two games at home, and in game seven, you're up 2-0 late innings? I think, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you got to be smiling ear to ear. And I know you're a gentleman, and unlike some of us, not a braggart, you know, but you got to be smiling over this result and saying, hey, those spoilers they spoiled it for us, but they got what they deserved. They choked.
You know, there's another good story in here.
Never let the facts ruin a good story, Bill.
Nope. Scherzer having a very gutty appearance, because remember, he couldn't get out of bed on Monday morning. On Wednesday, and he got scratched from Game 5 because he had muscle in the neck.
Oh, there's no question. He's going to go down with Curt Schilling as a guy who sucked it all up and managed to pitch despite severe physical limitations.
Remember, Houston went 2-for-13 in at-bats with men on base against Scherzer. 1-in-8 at-bats with 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And they really had opened the door. You know, meanwhile, Greinicke seemed like he was going to close it out, even though he had not had a good postseason.
Greinicke surprised me. He was better than I thought he would be,
exactly.
Bill. He really was. And he was dominant for a good period of time.
67 pitches. He wasn't really tired. And, you know, that's why I like baseball so much. You never know.
Well, as we say in the NFL, on any given Sunday, with baseball now, it's pretty much any given game and now any given series, you know. But I know folks want to move on, but I wanted to just, you know, since you asked me what I thought about the Nationals' victory, clearly, you know, congratulations goes out to them, and, you know, a job well done. I think it's great for that, you know, section of the country to find, they haven't had a championship since, what, 1924 or something like that? Almost 100 years. So, you know, kudos to the Nats. We'll see what happens next year. Obviously, a lot of free agency movement here. And I think, quite frankly, to put a cap on the Yankee talk, you see the Red Sox in this as well. The issue now, in my view, is you're the Yankees, you're the Red Sox, you're the two, because I don't put Houston in that category yet. Okay, they don't have the tradition. But if you're the Yankees and the Red Sox, you got to be saying to yourself, wait a minute, we're not going to let Houston do this to us again next year. One of us is going to be there. My big fear is that the Yankees and the Red Sox both go on a spending spree, that Gerrit Cole winds up, you know, getting $1 billion because they outbid each other, because both teams want to get him. And you know that whichever team gets him is going to have a significant advantage over the other. So, I hope the offseason is light and these teams concentrate on developing their own homegrown young talent and try to put the best team they can on the field without breaking the free agent market. And that's kind of my cap on the baseball season.
Good point. All well taken, John. Let's break for a commercial. We'll be back.
And when we come back, let's talk some college basketball, some football, and we'll take a break.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hey, we're back after all those commercials, and while John Manfreda is clearing his throat or whatever it is he's doing and getting a cup of coffee, let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You know, hockey's back. The Philadelphia Flyers, my favorite hockey team, took a real thumping from the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday in Pittsburgh, and they lost 7-1 and fell to 6th in their division. It'd be nice if they would show up now and then and actually play hockey. But now they're on a two-game losing streak, not looking very good at all, and maybe they've got some guys coming up from the minors at Allentown, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, but hopefully they can get back on track with the New Jersey Devils. They're going to be playing tomorrow night, the last time they got together, the Flyers in their home opener. Handed the Devils a pretty commanding 4-0 loss. And the Devils haven't really done much better since then. They're comfortably in last place. They've only had 2 wins after with 10 games into the season. Devils have only scored 28 goals but allowed 43. So the Flyers can really have a chance to get well this weekend. It's time to start Carter Hart again because he's had a rough go for his last 2 or 3 games. He had some time off and got to play some low-stress minutes during the third period of what I'm going to call garbage time in Tuesday's game in Pittsburgh. So this ought to be a good thing for him to build on. He played well the last time he faced the Devils, and maybe he can catch some of that lightning in the bottle again. But he's going to need some defense in front of him, but that might be manageable for Hart. We'll see what happens. Now they've brought a new guy up from Lehigh Valley, one of the Flyers' better draft choices, German Rupsup. Hard to say that last name, but he's a decent defenseman. Forward, pardon me. He's probably a stabilizing kind of guy. And, you know, they're mixing things up a lot these days. And the Devils' Jack Hughes was their 2019 overall pick, and he looked like he was struggling. Hughes suddenly is skating better. He's gotten 2 goals and 3 assists in his last 4 games, and the Devils' offense might be struggling, but Hughes could be somebody who's driving it, so the Flyers are going to have to find a way to contain him. Philadelphia's got a lot of new guys coming up. Joel Farabee is still looking for his first NHL goal after being called up last week. Philippe Myers and Carson Terwinski are back from Allentown and looking to play themselves into permanent roles with the big club. So they've got something on the line. Flyers have been a mess lately. They've had defensive breakdowns. They've been giving up a lot of high-quality chances. They're losing an awful lot of puck battles along the boards, and the transition play just has not been good. You can look for excuses, but the team does not seem to take care of business. They play a sloppy game. And, you know, you can look for excuses, but these are guys that just need to be better. So they've had a couple of days to get a breather, collect themselves, and see where they're going. So there's going to be a puck drop tonight. I said tomorrow night, but it's tonight at 7. And the Flyers lineup looks like they'll start Hart. The defensive pairings are Provorov and Niskanen, who, as you know, they picked up from Washington as a free agent. Gotis Behar, Brent Braun, Sanheim, and Philippe Myers. The lines look like Van Riemsdyk, Giroux, and Voracek to start. Lindblom, who's been hot, Couturier, who always plays well, and Travis Konecny. Raphael Hayes and Farabee, and Twarinski, Rubitsov, and Stewart. Stewart's a tough guy, and he has been known to drop the gloves and mix it up. So that ought to be kind of fun. We're also looking at seeing what the rest of the NHL is doing before we get John back in and we start talking about football. But it's hard to figure out what really makes a team go from playing pretty well to just not doing well at all. And, you know, hockey's an emotional game. It's going to be awful tough if the Flyers manage to drop 2 to the Devils over this weekend. I mean, it won't be easy for me putting up with John. But more importantly, we've got a lot going on here. So, you know, it's hard to figure out with Philadelphia. What happened over the last four games? They lost to the Islanders, who are beating everybody. They lost to Pittsburgh, a more talented team. But the optimism is still there. A lot of people think the Flyers are right now are better as a younger team than most of their recent squads. The play driving numbers seem to be there because the nose system seems to be producing more offense and limiting chances, except for the last two games. The penalty kill isn't a give a goal away for free campaign anymore. And yeah, some pretty bad games this season so far. But when they've shown up and looked focused, they've played well. Consistency is a problem for Philly. And hopefully this gets fixed a little later in the season when systems are in place with lines and defense pairs spending more and more time together. But we don't know. One of the difficult things that I've seen, having watched four games so far and having turned two of them off because they were awful, is that we saw Van Riemsdyk, Giroux, and Voracek spending most of their five-on-five time against Alistair Brincat and Jonathan Toews of the Islanders. They opened the night for seven and reeled off seven unblocked shots, concluding with Giroux's 59 seconds into the second period. Then we had Joel Farabee blast one with 9:32 left in the second period, which was the only time the Farabee, Hayes, and Scott Laughton line actually put a puck on net. And then the Lindblom, Couturier, Konechny line spent most of their five-on-five time against Dominik Kubalik, David Kampf, and Brandon Saad last Thursday in Pittsburgh. And Ryan Carpenter's shot on goal at 3:36 in the second period was a bullet. But we now have John back. I know John wants to talk at length about some basketball and some football.
Bill, first of all, on the football side, what a strange season. You got 2-8-0 teams there, San Francisco and the Patriots, and you've got what seems to be another kind of schism. You've got a couple of teams who are clearly dominant, healthy, winning, and most every other team has issues. You thought the Rams were going to be super good this year, come back after making it to the Super Bowl and just getting outcoached there and outplayed. You figure they're going to come back with that experience and dominate, and they've had a horrible year. Other teams who are expected to do really well, Dallas, Philadelphia, the Vikings have sputtered a little bit.
They're going into Chicago to play the Bears and Khalil Mack, and the Bears are always...
But I think Carson Wentz is going to be running for his life in that game. That offensive line better step up, or that could be a big problem. With the Cowboys are at the Giants Monday night. I mean, we all know what's going on there. Giants are in a rebuild. Who knows? They made a big move with the Jets in a very, very rare opportunity, and they snagged fifth or sixth overall pick in the draft 5 years ago, and a great edge pass rusher who's never quite lived up to his potential, but the Giants think they can coach him up a little bit. He's been a good player for the dysfunctional Jets. And with the Giants and the superior coaching, or what has been superior coach over the years, I'm not sure now, may be able to coach him up, and that may give the defense a big lift. I think it was a good move on the Giants' part, cost him a couple of picks, but as we all know, the picks are a crapshoot. So right now, I know it's still early. It's week 8. You got two more months to go. Lots of injuries could happen. Young players could step up. And that's the amazing thing. Much like you said before, the Washington Nationals were, what was that, 19-31 back in May?
19-31 back
yeah,
in May.
Yeah, and they won the World Championship. Well, you know, you got some teams now who are roughly 500 or maybe even slightly below. You never know what's going to happen. They could rip off 7-8 games in a row, and this playoff landscape could be very different come January.
Well, that's why I think the Eagles game against Chicago on the road is so important for them, because after that the Eagles are home more And you may remember in their championship season, they were 4-4 going into the ninth game of the season. The thing that is a surprise to me is Garoppolo and the Niners. What's the scoop there? They're 8-0, just like the Pates?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. What I understand the secret to the San Francisco success to be is they drafted high and well on both lines. They have a ferocious defensive line that puts extreme pressure on the offensive line and the quarterback, and I think they're getting the running backs in the backfield. Tremendous penetration by the defensive line. That's the single biggest thing in football besides the quarterback is the defensive line. And on the offensive side, San Francisco's managed to build a good offensive line and to mitigate or mollify the pressure that they're getting when they're on the offensive side. So to me, Garoppolo has been a good quarterback. He's certainly not great. If he were great, New England never would have let him go. But he's adequate. He can manage the game. What's winning for San Francisco is their line play. And Bill, as you know, the Giants won 2 Super Bowls and the Eagles won 1 in the past 5-7 years. How did they do it? Defensive line play. Monster pressure on the offense, suffocating pressure, and by the second half, that quarterback's running for his life. Chicago tried to do that last year. They fell a little short because of some injuries on defense where they couldn't sustain the defensive pressure. And Trubisky just is, you know, not, he hasn't distinguished himself yet as a really good quarterback. I think he's adequate. Some people think he has an upside, some potential. Most, I think, believe he is not going to be a great quarterback. But you put all that together and they kind of faded in the end. They had enough to beat Minnesota and that was about it. Bottom line is, I think, yeah, perhaps the most important game in the NFC is Philadelphia-Chicago, and it is going to be a tough assignment for those Eagles and Carson Wentz to survive that game. But again, back to the AFC, I mean, if Mahomes comes back 100% healthy and can run and shoot, I still think the Chiefs will find a way to get back to the AFC Championship game, whether they can beat New England this time. They had them beat last year. We all know that. They were walking off the field, and then a little yellow flag came out. The defensive lineman for the Chiefs was 6 inches over the line. That was an offside. Gave Brady another fourth down play, and of course he completed the pass, got the score, and they won it over. The rest is history. A bitter, bitter defeat for the Kansas City Chiefs. At this point, you know that's motivating them. They want to get back in the AFC and take another shot at the Patriots. Their defense is just so good that it might be the defense that can stop Mahomes. And, of course, the Kansas City defense is not a great defense. It's barely a good defense. And then the topper is you have Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a very, very good coach and a well-respected, if not beloved, figure in many regards around the league. But he has that albatross. He struggles to win the big one, Bill.
That's true. He does. John, you mentioned basketball. We don't usually talk about football much here, but what did you have to say?
Well, okay. You've got, on the men's side, the usual couple of dominant organizations, the Dukes and so forth, who will dominate college basketball. What is becoming an emerging power in college sports is women's basketball. Unfortunately, the women suffer what I feel is the same dilemma that you experience, what I was just talking about in the NFL, and to some extent in baseball. You've heard me say all year, there's only 5 teams that can win the world championship. Of course, I was proved wrong this time. I did not have the Nationals in my 5 teams, but had we known their potential, they would have been included. But basically, it's Astros, Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees, and maybe one or two other teams.
You're talking like a Cleveland or a Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, and they were never any really big threats. But in women's basketball, if you look at the last 20 years and you look at the achievements of the Connecticut women's basketball team, it's pretty unprecedented. Now, you will get some arguments from Tennessee, from Notre Dame's had been up there for a cup of coffee and so forth. I think they did win one. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can clarify that for us. I'm not sure. I think the Notre Dame women did win one. But obviously Connecticut's won a bunch. Tennessee's won a bunch. But the point, Bill, is that these are programs that are light years ahead of everybody else because they're fun to watch. You know, if you watch women's basketball, these teams, they get great women, great athletes, smart. There's a personality about them. There's an intelligence about them. And they're fun to watch, Bill.
Well, you know, I always maintain that women's basketball is better on the fundamentals and the taking care of business than the men's hoop.
I agree.
I think they play a smarter game. They may play a more self-disciplined game. They play a more
fundamentally sound game. Yeah.
Rather than flash and splash kind of game. And, you know, these are wonderful athletes. They show tremendous speed and grace, and they can put the ball through the net very easily.
Well, I think, Bill, it begins from the ground up. When you look at those programs, the women that they recruit into those programs have to be solid. They can't be any checkered past. They got to be good students. The problem, as we know, with minor exceptions, in the men's program, they'll take anybody. They'll take that top kid despite a horrible background, criminal history, if you will. And this has panned out that way. You have so many scandals in men's college basketball. You know, these guys have done a bad job. Women's basketball, I think, has been done a much better job at recruiting young women who want to play, who want to succeed in life, not just in basketball.
Well, hold that thought, John, because we've got a couple
commercials
to play.
Sounds good.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get
get involved.
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, Bill Wolfson and John Manfreda. And John, you were talking about women's hoop and women's tennis, and you were about to make one of your patented analogies. Excuse me, copyrighted analogies.
Well, Bill, that's very kind of you. And but before I get into my analogy, I have to thank our fans for supplying us with information here. You know, Bill, the fan base we have is just incredible, beautiful, smart, just so much fun to deal with, and we thank them for their support. Without further ado, I am now informed by my esteemed sources that the UConn women's basketball team has won 11 national championships, and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame have won but two. But the analogy I was going to make is to your point about stressing the fundamentals and actually being a more entertaining game. This is exactly what we say about the women's tennis tour. You know, you watch these great championship matches with women, there's 10, 15 volleys to get a point. With the men, they're trying to hit a winner, so you basically get a one or two volley point with somebody hitting a winner or hitting it long or short, and the point's over. Women are playing an intelligent game, trying to outsmart as well as outplay the opponent. It's very entertaining tennis to watch. Again, on the women's side, to your point, they set, they shoot. They're not trying to make these, acrobatic shots in the paint. They're setting up. They emphasize perimeter shooting, defense, playing, person-to-person coverage. It's just a better brand of basketball to play. So that was my analogy, women's basketball to women's tennis.
One of the interesting things I noticed when I watch women's tennis, and I watched the tennis championships this September, in the women's game, because the volleys and the rallies are longer, you learn more. And you learn more.
That's true, Bill. Women like to rally long. That is true.
And it's interesting because, as you know, I'm a somewhat indifferent tennis player. I would like to play more, but
you're not the biggest tennis fan, but I make it up for both of us.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John. But what I find that when I watch the women's game, whether it's Wimbledon or the U.S. Open.
And we know, Bill, when you watch the women's tennis, you're watching for the pure sport of it. We know that, Bill.
Well, that's absolutely true, John. And
whereas myself, I may happen to notice some of the fashion, that sort of thing. So there may be a little extra there for me.
Well, that's an interesting comment, John.
Yeah, I'm the guy that has the 6-foot life-size cardboard cutout in color of Maria Sharapova in my office. That's true.
Well, that's impressive. I've always been more of a Venus Williams fan. I always thought she was an amazing player.
And she is.
And just an astonishing physical specimen. Moving along, we've got Flyers Devils tonight. I think that's in New Jersey, isn't it?
It is, Bill, and it's interesting. I heard an interview with Matt Laughlin, the longtime voice of the Devils, on NHL Sirius Radio, and they were asking Matt how to account for this very, very dreadful start by the Devils after getting Jack Hughes, the number one overall pick, and having Nico Hershier, another number one pick 2 years ago, and decent goaltending. How are they managing to underachieve? And the defense, unfortunately, lacks speed. It lacks toughness. They're backing in on the goalie. They're getting caught up ice. And they haven't had great goaltending. Bill, you need both.
I noticed that in their last couple of games where I saw I'm not going to call them highlights because I don't think that's the right word. But I saw them losing a lot of puck battles along the walls. And to me, that's a fundamental problem. If you lose those battles and the forwards get to make a pass out or get to take a shot, you've got to have great goaltending. And Corey Schneider is not Martin Brodeur.
No, I mean, I think Corey had 4 or 5 very good years, kept the Devils competitive. But he's dropped off a niche, and as you say, he's not Martin Brodeur. He was an adequate NHL goalie who was apparently lost a little bit, and when you're just adequate and you take a step back, that's a problem.
Yeah, particularly if your defense isn't there to bail you out. And,
correct.
You know, I thought the Devils drafted poorly at defense because they so badly wanted Jack Hughes.
I think long-term, Bill, it was a very good move. They've now got Hershey, who's getting, but he's still only 20 years old. They're getting stronger, faster, smarter at the center position, which is, you know, the most important forward position. They clearly need to draft defense and build that from the goaltending out. The Flyers, on the other hand, I think have finally found some good young goaltending. They don't have the best defense either. I think you're looking for both New Jersey and Philadelphia to add defensive players and build a better defensive scheme and look to play smarter. And because right now they can't compete with the Sidney Crosbys and the premier players. They just can't. The Capitals. These teams are the Bruins now. What are they, 10-1? You know, they can't compete with these teams. So
you know what's interesting to me? When the Devils signed one of my favorite players, P.K. Subban, I thought, given the fact that this guy is a great defenseman, he's
tough, very tough player. Tough, add toughness. Yep.
Very cerebral defenseman, too. He's excellent.
Yeah, smart player.
I thought they would be playing much better. What's your take? How's he fit in so far?
I think he has tried to coach up the younger players. He's tried to instill a winning attitude and explain to them that, you know, you got to play tough, and even when you're down, you never give up. And that's where the Devils are right now. They're 2-5-2, one of the worst records in the league. The goal differential was -15, and the play just isn't good. But I think you put your finger on it. The defense has to step up. P.K. Subban is a great, you know, leader in that locker room, and it's early in the year. You're inside 10 games, and there's a long way to go. There's 72 games to go. So let's see if they can't, at some point, improve the defense, get the adequate goaltending, and maybe, you know, by springtime, this team could, with some good young talent and a move here and there, they may round into a, you know, second-tier playoff team. I think getting some playoff experience would be great for them, like the Flyers did last year. They got in the first round. That was great stuff for them.
But, you know, do you think they're going to capture some of the fairy dust that seemed to have been sprinkled on the Washington Nationals in baseball?
Nah, I don't see that, Bill. I think the thing you can't forget about Washington is that they have good core talent. Great young pitching with Strasburg, Scherzer, there's some great young players in that team. They played hurt early. They were 19-31 injured team. I think when they got to the postseason and they got down to the Astros, the stage was just too big for them. And when they lost the 3 games at home, I think they did a lot of growing up. And they were playing with house money. They went back down to Houston. And, you know, they worked hard, but they got lucky. The point I'm making is that you need good young talent to start. I certainly wouldn't put the Devils in the top half of the league at this point overall in terms of talent. I think they have some of the best young players because they've had two number one overall picks in the last 3 years, so you certainly can build on that, but they have a long way to go, Bill.
Folks, we're looking at a beautiful weekend coming up. It's going to be cool but clear. Hopefully the winds will be dropping. I'm going to be going to my boat to finish winterizing both tomorrow and Sunday and probably visiting with a friend or two down the shore. Additionally, for those of you who love outdoor sports as much as I do, Hunterdon features a lot of great trails to hike and bike on. There's a Columbia Trail between High Bridge and Calapan, which is considered a national monument in many respects to for hikers and bikers. There's also the Delaware Canal Trail, and one of my favorite rides is to go from Milford to Frenchtown and back. I'm hoping to get to do that before it gets too cold with a couple of friends. Additionally, there's always that great walk, that great ramble along the river between Lambertville and Stockton. Coffee at both ends, nice warm places to go in and get something to eat or drink. It's only a 3 mile walk. A lot of it is shaded, and with the leaves coming off the trees now, we should be able to get out there with some fresh air and sunshine. Another thing I really like to do is to go to Bull Island State Park in between Stockton, just north of Stockton on Route 29. Park the car, walk around the park grounds, and walk over the footbridge to Lumberville, Pennsylvania, enjoying the view of the beautiful Delaware River, and go into one of the restaurants in Lumberville or Stockton and get a cup of coffee and something else to eat.
Well, Bill, we got to grab some of those folks and get paid sponsorships from them. You're doing a great job of promoting that area, and I agree with you. It is a good weekend to get up off that couch and get out, as you like to say. But we want to thank our listeners, as always. Appreciate your participation, especially those folks in Ohio. They always do a great job, and we appreciate you listening to us, even though we're out of the jurisdiction for them. And we hope you have a great weekend, whether you're indoors playing tennis like I will be, and it's going to be tennis, and more tennis this weekend. Hopefully my eyes and legs hold up. And, Bill, hopefully the shore will do well for you in the boat.
That hopefully it will, and I'll be at HealthQuest at least one night doing spin, and another night, probably Monday night, I'll be back at my high-impact kickboxing and aerobics class.
I'm sorry, did I say Ohio? I may have misstated, but nevertheless, we say fond farewell to our friends in Connecticut, Ohio, and elsewhere.
And to all the ships at sea, and good night, Hunterdon. Have a great weekend. Get up off that couch. We're going to be going to our rewind in a minute. So we're going to hit the rewind so that you folks no longer have the dubious honor of listening to us. So, John, it's going to be a great weekend. You're playing tennis a couple nights. I'm going to try not to work this weekend. I think the office...
Well, Bill, in between hitting tennis balls, yeah, I'll be at the office. You know that. But hopefully it won't rain as it did to some Halloweeners, trick-or-treaters going out tonight. Because Halloween was postponed in a lot of towns last night. Some will be even going tomorrow night. So farewell. Have a great week, everyone.
With Tim Burke.
The U.S. economy is beating estimates as 128,000 jobs were added in October. The unemployment rate ticked up to 3.6%. Experts had predicted around 100,000 new jobs. John Hilzenrath of the Wall Street Journal reacts to the latest job report.
Take a break, everyone. You're listening to The Watchdog on Wall Street Show. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is our site. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. Reminder again, take advantage of all the great things that we have on our site. Newsletter, consultations with our certified financial planners, all sorts of great stuff. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com or give us a call, 800-471-5984.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
You're listening to The Watchdog on Wall Street.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Democratic-led House of Representatives passed a resolution which moves the impeachment process of President Trump into a new phase. Democrats described the resolution as a roadmap moving forward, including guidelines for witness testimony.